impartation and pray for people. I'm happy to lay my grubby little pinkies on anybody. You can have everything except my pain. You got your own. But why can't we do what I think the scripture says with regard to releasing and speaking into? Try and explain that a bit more in a minute, because there's quite a crucial definition of prophecy that I want to bring out. So I'm back into the notes. It's called definition. It's near the back, the last page. It's the issue is communication. It's communication, and it is prophecy is founded, I'll quote, on the basic principle that God wishes to communicate to society, the world, and the church through individuals, whether singly, corporately, or in the community, in the Church of Jesus. Revelation 19:10. There's something about this scripture that I'll try and bring out later or tomorrow. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which says to me, he's the beginning, the end. In fact, he's before the beginning, he's after the end. He's the focus, he's the center. It's got to be through Jesus. Just to say, he's the door. You go through him and you go into the pasture. Is that right? As sheep. But some people tried to jump over the wall, didn't they? They were after and went in the same field. Think about that. But they didn't go through Jesus. And there are sincere people out there, I think, that have a... Is this me doing this? That noise? Am I doing that noise, great one? Okay. Is it Dan the man? There are people that would jump over the wall and not go through Jesus for the same field. So what we go into is of absolute value. That makes sense. I think you'll think about it. Prophecy is a sovereign activity of God. He calls, he gives, it starts with him, and we speak with divine inspiration. Oh, you've got that. Directing the recipient of the heart to the heart and ways of God. We do not represent ourselves or our opinion. We communicate with best practice, and I've got some stuff on there somewhere which I'd like to get into. The danger for a speaker with regard to beautiful food like that the spirit of the lettuce gets stuck in the teeth, you know. And we need to deal with ourselves, spirit, soul, and body, in that sort of way. I could tell you some embarrassing stories, not about me, of course, and they probably are, some of them, but that is it. Best practice is important. In fact, I'll just say this. I've got a prophecy here by a man that I know well, or pretty well, and he's talking about the EU. I've decided at the moment what I'm going to do about voting. That's sit on the fence, because I don't know. I would think if we had a poll here, some of you would say we're going out, some of you would say we're staying in, and others might be a little bit like I am at the moment. I'm a bit okey-cokey about it, you know. I go in one foot then in the other one, and I don't know. And some of us are quite strong with our opinions. Is that about right? Well, here's a prophecy, and I know the guy, so I understand somewhat he says it. It's from it's connected to Clifford Hill, Prophecy Today, whom I quite really like, to be honest. But what he's saying is, I warn you now that the European institution will not repent, even though I bring disaster and destruction upon it. I urge you, O Britain, still loved by me, for the sake of your godly forefathers, come out of her. So that's quite a strong prophetic word, saying, come out. But, you know, either God gets blamed for a lot of things, that's one either, or we must take notice of what this man's saying. But if he says God is saying it, it can't be wrong. But then I've got my own, with integrity, personal response, haven't you? So I'd weigh all that, and I'd come to a conclusion, and I would bet, if I was a betting person, that when we vote in June, some of you will say yes and some of you will say no. And you may even all think it's God. What's the answer? I've got no idea. But you've got to go with your own personal integrity and weigh clearly. as I know this man, that's fine, but I'm not sure what he's saying is right anyway. So that's the danger with property. So if someone says, "Verily I saith unto thee," I would want to go from King James into Queen Elizabeth II for starters, wouldn't you? And talk rather like the Message than the King James Version, although I've been torn to shreds over that in my younger years because they thought the King James Version was the word of no surrender, it's the word of God. Well, I didn't know it was. I thought it was Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew. But anyway, never mind. But if I say to you, Miss Lou, God is saying to you, she's going to say, is he Claire? I call her E. Claire. Are you a bit, yeah.
Chocolatey. Oh dear.
Pardon?
Chocolatey.
Full of flavour and sweet things. Who's got a fantastic, generous heart but this lady? Who'd serve herself till her skin came off her fingers? This young lady. She would. She's brilliant. And he does appreciate you most of the time, doesn't he? Yeah. He needs to put the seat down sometimes, though, doesn't he? Yeah. I knew I went in the men's loo because all the seats were up. That's typical. Yeah. I always put... Never mind. If I said to you, God is saying... She's not got an answer because I'm saying God is saying. So it puts you in such a difficult thing. So we need to be, didn't mean to say that then, but best practice is being aware. Well, God's told me, so it must be right. Well, he hasn't told me, Mrs., you know. So we need to get the mind and heart of God with a sense of compassion and grace. It's grace. I'm saved by grace alone. That is a hymn. Badly sung. This is all my plea. Oh, you're not Pentecostals, are you? So that is really, really important. You can get a little bit more of the Greek there, prophetes and all that sort of thing, but I want to come into something else very quickly. 2 Peter 1:21. So prophecy is summed up. This is the bit before that. Insight, communication, a foreteller or forthteller, revealing and proclaiming. It's this. If you be interesting how you picked up how I prophesy, because in the middle of it all is word of knowledge. So I would speak into somebody, let's say, what's your name?
Hannah.
Oh yeah. I'd speak into Hannah, and I may just speak a word to her, which is like a revelation of her heart, and she might go, oh. Or you might not get a smack leg. And it's like a word of knowledge opens her up, and then I could speak into her and begin to say something about tomorrow and the next day. So there she is with... Are you related to her?
I'm her mom.
Oh, that's a real pity. And I don't mean that rudely. The thing about Hannah is, Mum, she doesn't show her heart through her eyes. Don't you? Did you know that?
No.
Oh, does she, Mum? She shows her heart. Oh, dear. We've done it now, haven't we? You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like God wants to give you dreams and visions. And I feel like he wants you to communicate them, not just by word through your mouth, but through your hands, by writing. There's something about you and writing prophetic stories. There's something literary about you, which I think there's something... Your creative ability is to create stories and create stories by which people and even younger people will read them and they will feel like they're right in the story. You've got an ability to draw people right into the subject that you're writing about, and they'll be in there and they'll live in it. Does that make sense? So your strength is your vulnerability to the Holy Spirit. But you do show your heart by the way you are. Look at your face. Sorry, I don't want to make a... She's a beautiful girl and she smiles lovely, doesn't she, Mum? She does. And then, but you show, you know, then you think, look at those eyes, are opening a bit. You think, what is he going to, what's going on, you know? But that, so that's sort of some, so you can open people's heart, but you've got to be careful, because it's not for me to expose sin and all that sort of thing, is it? That would be totally blockheadish. So what I'm saying is that often God might use something to open a heart, like Revelation of yesterday, as long as it's not going to expose something wrongly publicly. We mustn't do that either. Whatever you get, if you think there's something directive, yea, verily, Hannah, there's a grace in Hannah too, isn't there? The Lord is calling thou to Columbia, you know. Why?
My boyfriend's Colombian.
Really?
Do you know, I was going to say Vietnam and stopped. I did, and I went to and it, Colombia came out my mouth.
Need to wait
out. Yeah. Well, being called to Columbia might be being called to a Colombian person, mightn't it? I'm trying to wheedle my way out of it. That was going to be just an example of, if there's a directive word, yes, gobby church, it needs to go through authority. So I don't, you know, I submit to this lot of leaders, these two and others, which anything I say will, which might be a bit dicky, they need to talk to me about. But anything directive like that needs to be drawn in. I wouldn't say that publicly. But isn't that funny? Yeah. So be careful. Please do not go up to someone and say you're going to have a baby in 6 months' time or something. No dates or mates, really. No atches, matches and dispatches. It's just very, if you really have got something, you share it with key leadership. You share it with leadership. It's crucial. Otherwise you'll be like, I am just a wandering star. Or a, you know, a loose cannon. We don't want that. There's too much out there. You know, were you asking a question? You were just scratching your head. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to say. Anyway, that is interesting. Look, she's all brightened up now. Look, she's all gooey. What's his name? Huyan? Julian. Julio. Yeah. Well, all I can say about him, Mum, he's got good taste, hasn't he? Oh, poor Vavor. Oh, that's Portuguese, isn't it? Really? That's really interesting. You got me. You've nearly thrown me off the track there. Very interesting. So I'll come back to this, the future, in a minute, because there's something very clear about telling the future. Put that in brackets and hang on to it. It's really important. So basically, the essence of prophecy is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. It's EEC. We're back to the European community again. EEC. Think about that. European economic, but it's edify, exhort, and comfort. Edify, which is, I call it okidoki. I don't really know a lot of Greek, but it's oikodome, isn't it? Any Greek scholars here? Okidoki. It's to build up. Exhort is to stir up, and comfort is to cheer up. And I feel like the essence of prophecy is, what, in whatever context, we build up. We don't tear apart and destroy. I'm talking about gift of prophecy. Very important. The prophet may have another calling. He certainly did in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. But the thing about the Old Testament was they stoned him if he got it wrong. That isn't in the New Testament. We have the church. Oh, well, perhaps it is. I just made something up then, didn't I? Stephen, yeah, I called him Stephen. Good? Yeah. So, bear that in mind. I'm going to leave all that out. This is, where's that? Oh, yeah, here we are. There's two things. 1 Peter 1:21, holy men and I say women of God. There's no distinction with gender as far as I'm concerned. Is that all right? I'm sure you're as clear as I am on the fact that Romans 16 does talk about a woman apostle, doesn't it? I'll leave that. And some of the translations have changed the name and put her in the footnotes and called him by the masculine term, Junius and Junior. You have a little look. I mean, they've made her have a sex change. It's true. It's just amazing. But it says this, which I think this is brilliant. God, they spoke as they were moved or borne along by the Holy Spirit. We can still be borne along, not boring, but borne along. And the word is like the wind of God. It's the breath of God. And years ago, I was in Vancouver. Anybody been to Vancouver, Canada? Is it good? It's brilliant. They all need to go, don't they? Yeah. It's just a short hop or 10. Yeah. And I was speaking in a church, and my mate was the pastor, and one of the elders had a yacht, I mean a big one, and he invited us down, and we had salmon, and we had the whole deal. So we did go into the ministry of scoffing and drink, and then what he did, he had an evil glint in his eye, and he did something to the flag, the sail at the front. Is it mizzen? Help me. Anyway, he did something to that, and he turned the steering wheel, whatever that thing's called. I'm really apt at this. And suddenly, we were sort of drifting, and he caught the wind, and we went off like the clappers. And it was so fast that I started shouting. My longer hair went up in the air. My tears came out horizontally. And my mate, the pastor, said hello to his salmon. The whole lot came back, you know. I don't know which way he was facing. But I'll never forget that because I felt it was so prophetic. Not to do with him being sick. But the fact was he hardly moved. He just did something to the sail and just turned the wheel. And fantastic. And there we were going for it. I don't know what to do except shout. I'll never forget it. And there's something about us picking up the wind of the Spirit. And there's no doubt that worship inspires us. The breath of God. Again, those songs. Weren't they on the ball, those songs? All those words, I'm thinking, where they got those from? It's taking out of my notes. But don't you like that kind of thing? I want to be borne along, don't you? It's dangerous, but that's what we're in, isn't it? Yes, you said. Now, here's something that is dangerous. Where's it gone? Oh, here it is, across the page. It says, an issue vital to be understood. Now, we are going to finish at 8, okay? Because we need to, for the children, let alone the mums and the dads. This, to me, is crucial. It really is. And if you want a dialogue, please do. I love this. It's in my spirit. Sometimes I can't get it out because I don't know what to say, but we'll see how we go. I'll read it out. The prophetic word is not clairvoyance, one who sees ahead the future. It's so close, isn't it? But there can be prediction and creation by speaking God's purposes into the present, into the now, which changes and shapes it to be the future. So what I believe we do, certainly I would say the prophet, but as we move in gift of prophecy, we're basically speaking into now, into a life now, and the word of God begins to change and shape the future. Do you see that? I cannot emphasize that enough. And it carries on. Now, I don't know how Calvinist or Reformed you are, but there's a sovereignty issue here which sort of disturbs me. I don't know what to do about it, but I'll say it all anyway, and God bless us all. God's purposes are not set and predetermined. I better carry on quick. But the prophetic word spoken creatively into the now brings them about. God knows what will happen, but how is not determined. We have a role to play to release God's purposes, and he's limited himself to our response. I do believe that. I have to say, God is so brilliant. picking on people like you and me, what chance has he got? But you see, he takes risks with you and me. Here I am, somewhat frail and human and broken, and you don't know my background very well. You know, of course, I've been brilliant, perfect, and complete all my life. I just moved into Colossians 3:9 then. Do you know what that is? Lie not one to another. Yeah. But we're all like that. We're all weak and frail, and, you know, we're human. And sometimes when Chris... So she's had a cough for weeks, maybe a few months. I bet there's been a lot of chesty, throaty coughs that you can't get rid of. The trouble is the MS manifests fatigue. She goes into all kinds of things, can't move. And it's like she's had 60 cigarettes a day for 20 years. This, do you know what I mean? Some of you have had this cough. But sometimes when your wife cannot move, or someone that you know and love, it's interesting. And we've come across this a lot over the years, but every time it happens, something happens in me. Oh God, you know. I'm looking for empathy, by the way, not sentimental claptrap, because you're mature enough to give me the right thing. But it does affect me. And I don't know why I said all that. Why did I say that? Anybody know? No, but I did. It must be for a purpose. But you see, this is a paradox. This is a contradiction. So I pray for her legs every day, and her spinal column, and her brain, and all the rest of it, and all the bits to do with MS, because I believe we have a role to play to release God's purposes. And I think to myself, the thing over this year that I want to see is much more of a breakthrough in healing. I can't say more than that to you lot, because I know where you've all been, and I've been right there with you. But I want to see more of a breakthrough. And there's been little things going on, particularly with the revelation of the prophetic word. And if I can see that happen, speaking into people's lives, like that backhanded thing about Colombia, which was such a hilarious thing, really, you know, you go, oh, how do you know that? What's going on? But why can't we see that when we speak into dialysis and kidneys? But what am I going to do? And I face this. We're going to carry on, Molly. We're going to push through, aren't we? It's so, so important. So as we release God's purposes into the now, that becomes the future. So what we do, we shape the future by reforming the present. We speak into the now, and God takes those words and they become the future. Now that to me is nitroglycerin stuff. But I really do believe it. I do. So, John 11, 21, 25, Martha is just appearing, Mum and Dad. She's in verse 21. Martha said, if only he were here. She's talking about the past. Verse 24, Martha said, I know he will rise again in the last day. Hallelujah. But you see, that's the future. But verse 25, Jesus talks about the presence. He says, ego eimi, he says, I am. He says, today I am. He's a present God. Thank God for the future. Maybe thank God for the past. We can do nothing about it. But if we face it right and embrace the issues, God will heal. I got no doubt about that. That book over there, I've got a whole lot of stuff on what I call frozen memories. Have I ever talked about frozen memories? I could sing a Barbara Streisand song, but it's not biblical because she goes into denial. You read it again. It's amazing. I can't cope, she sings, so she'll push them down into the deep corners. You know, she doesn't deal with them. I think I'm going a bit funny. It's true. It's true. Frozen memories, isn't it? We don't bury our problems dead. We bury them alive. And they become frozen, and things will pop up. And what we need to do is learn to embrace the memories and get them defrosted by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they'll integrate into us. What's the time? Shall I give you a quick example? Okay, so I'm in Canada a few years ago, and I take a night off. This is north of Toronto, about an hour's north, and I've got some lovely friends there. We go to this house, my friend's house, and there's a handful of people there, and they get me. They want to pray for me. So I am prayed for, and something peculiar happens. I'm aware and alive and with it, but at the same time, I'm in another dimension. I'm in a sort of a vision, and I'm flying through the air. I'm flying through the air. Not with a snowman, but with angels. I'm sat on this cliff, and I jump off, and I start flying, and suddenly masses of angels are all around me, and certain things happen which we haven't got time for, and I end up flying towards these mountains, and there's a Disney castle, yeah, and I aim for that, and I land in the courtyard. There's a big door into this place, and all the angels are sat on the battlements, on the walls there, watching. And I couldn't get into this door. I couldn't get through, and I needed to, because there was something for me. And as I'm stuck, I'm talking this out to the people, I turn to my right, and on the wall there's a picture. And this is now, say, 8 years ago. Where are we? 2006. This is about 2008. This picture goes back to 1971. And there I am, getting out my Morris 1000 Traveller. Some of you will remember those that got the ends of the wood rotted. Yes. And I'm getting out, and I'm in our house, in our driveway of our house, which is North Bristol, semi-detached house. And as I get out, there's a woman in the doorway who's a doctor, and she speaks Martian to me, because she says multiple sclerosis. She might as well have said anything. I had no idea what that was. And what happened was, Chris went to the doctors because of this funny skin sort of thing. Turns out that she gets examined, and the doctor says, go home, I'm bringing a consultant to your house. That's serious. She phones me in the office in central Bristol and said, your wife is seriously ill, you must come home now, goodbye, which is litigation these days, but never mind. So I rush home, as if I could, in my Morris 1000 Traveller, and I'm thinking she's going to die. So I get out the car, and I'm like that. This is the picture on the wall. I'm leaning on the door, and she's saying multiple sclerosis. At that time, Chris screams. She hears her, screams, and the scream comes out, because she knew a young woman who died of MS, and that's quite rare. And so a spirit of death actually affected her. It's gone now. So what I did, I couldn't cope with it, so I went into denial, pushed the memory down, and it became frozen. That's the short version. There's much more to it. It's in there in the context of another story. 2008, I'm looking at that picture. All those years later. It's a long time, 30-odd years or something. Must be. And I'm telling my friends, I see this picture. And they're saying something's happened. And what I did, I went into denial. I can remember it, but there was something that was locking me up. So what I did was I turned and faced the memory, and I embraced it and took it on, took it back, and the door opened. In I go, and there's four little boxes with rings in. Green, emerald, sapphire, ruby, and a gold colour. And they were meaningful. I put them all on. And the gold colour thing was amber, which is symbolic of the manifest presence of God. And the whole thing was a major thing to me, my life. So I go out, fly back, and that's the end of it. Next day I'm in a conference and taking it for the day, and I share this about frozen memories. That was the term that came out of my mouth. And as I'm sharing it, and I go into some prayer at the end, and as I'm praying, I've sent somebody, I think I've got this right, it's in there. And there's this woman, this well-appointed, well-to-do woman, turns out to be a lawyer, suddenly comes out to the front, can I say something? So I said, yes, risky. She turns around and says, as you were praying, Jesus came and stood by me, right in front of me, and looked at me and opened me up, because inside of me was a little girl behind prison bars. And that little girl had been, which was her, had been abused back there, and the abuse was so great that she dissociated, it's in there, and broke, and she was left as a little girl, as the person grew up, just and as I was talking and praying, he came in, opened her up and went right in and embraced that little girl. She's healed. That woman's healed. It's a miracle. So all that happened. Everything took place. So I go home a few days later and say to Chris about this, particularly about this sort of picture and vision. She says, all right. 3 months later, she says, you've really changed in your attitude to my illness. And I never knew I had. But my attitude changed because I embraced that frozen memory. Make sense? Now, I'm not saying to you to do anything, but I'm saying to you, be open to God, because I know some of you went flipping heck, or whatever you'd say. I won't go any further with words, but get to the place, get help, and embrace them. Take them in through the Holy Spirit and know a healing. I'm telling you, something will happen. And it's like that dream, that vision of mine, was an exposure of something that had always been with me. And that word so affected me that it shaped my future. From that day till then, I know I've been different. I do. And that was so dramatically prophetic. Don't forget dreams and visions. It's just amazing. And what I'm saying is that Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He says, don't worry about the future, not the past. I am resurrection today. And what I'm after is, as he spoke the word into the now, he shapes the future by saying to them, take the stone away. You need to know that a few days later, he was facing death. And I wonder whether he looked in and saw a dead man. Because that meant, a few days later, he was seeing himself. It's amazing. Because he actually raised the dead. And a few days later, well, you know the story. It's fantastic. You see, we are today future. We can deal with the past. And through revelation, word of knowledge, through the prophetic, we can sort that through. Painful, of course, but we can prepare for the future. But I want, as a prophetic person, to live in the now. And as I speak, my words go in and shape the future. Do you understand, bitter? You understand? So words are more than just vehicles of expression. Do we speak words or do words? Do we do words? You see, the revelation is that when we speak our words, they have power to change. And I think it's more immediate than we think. So they've gone into some of you, and something's beginning to happen and to change, which to me is so crucial. Spoken words make things happen. When God spoke words in the beginning, God said, and the Spirit just was there alert, ready, and he was brooding over, wasn't he? It's so precious, it's so fantastic. So we speak words of truth. Life and death is in the power of the... Now, those who live by it, live by what? It doesn't say you can live by death and you'll be affected. But I want to live by life and speak life in. Ronald Reagan said, you ain't seen nothing yet. I feel like God is saying to you, Mum and Grandma, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because you've got the gutsy ability to lay hold of God. Like that, with great intercessory shouting, and see God do miracles as you speak forth words. So there. So I particularly like Rhema and Logos, don't you? But you see, let me say this. Is it true that when you or I speak words, they create? They do. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Tosh and Balderdash. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names they do hurt. So we have a power. But if you can be infused by the Spirit of God and speak in, hearing God's heart, standing and seeing his word in the counsels of God, look out, world. Look out, Kirby on Ashby. Where are we? Ashwood. Kirkby and Ashfield, yeah. I'm still at Ravenshead. Where's that, up the road?
Yeah.
Oh! Still good, yeah. So, Logos and Rhema, some people say, well, they're both translated word. They're a bit synonymous, but they're a bit not, really. Jesus, you know, logic comes from Logos. Reason. Well, Jesus is the reason, basically. That's a bit twee. Jesus is the reason for the season, but anyway. But the Rhema is the spoken, now direct, inseminating word. And I want to live in Logos and all that life of God. But out of my mouth can come Rhema, which affects us today, today, today. And we have the ability. That's why I get inspired by these songs. I don't know why you picked all that lot, but they were so right, weren't they? And that'll happen tomorrow. I've got no doubt of you, my loves. How are we doing? Nine minuten. So all I can say to you in Bristolian is carpe diem, my loves. Where is he? Say it, carpe diem. Where are you from, Devizes? Carpe diem. Is he saying it? Oh, well, that's too southern. Oh, Mother's Bromley. I say carpe diem, which means... Yeah, you do know it so well, don't you? You do. You do. Now then. Here's a very nice man. What's his name?
Chris.
Yes, Christopher.
That's right.
Yeah. I feel like I want to say the word of God is strong in you enough. You're holding my hand. No, keep... It's strong and brilliant, which I was going to say to you before I realized this. You have got the ability to lay hold on God and remind him of his word.
Amen.
Because you are a persistent person, which is your strength and your weakness, but we won't go into that. But you are. You can be precise and right. Sometimes that might need a little flexibility, but you know the word of God, and the word of God is like a mighty anvil in you, but it's like a beacon of light and fire and flame. And you know, when you get inspired, look out, everybody, because yes, there's a level that you know that you're in, which is pretty good, to be really honest. But sometimes there's an infusion of the Spirit, and you will speak the Rhema word, and you will turn God's heart. So there, and whatever it is you're looking for, God's going to, I was going to say wake you up in the night, but you'll know, you will become awake, whether it's day or night. You'll be awakened by revelation and that infusion of the Spirit, and you'll speak the word, and it will be so. Hallelujah. So there. 7 minutes. Well, I'm going to do it. Where there is no vision, the people perish or are unrestrained. I want to see the invisible. Don't you? And do the impossible. There's something else about that. Where is it? Come out. Have I got something about Mary? Anyway, it's Luke, isn't it? Let me just finish up with this bit. I think that might be enough to do that, and we'll talk about the rest tomorrow, shall we? So I want to do a bit on Moses and a bit on impartation and all that. But this is our Mary. We're back to our Mary, Jesus's mum. Luke somewhere. Oh, here we are. Doodle 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 doodle. The angel. Verse 34, chapter 1. How can this be, since I am a virgin? And it's like the Lord, through the angel, spoke a word to her which was devastating. How old would she have been? 13, 14-ish. that you can have a baby. Well, I'm betrothed. I mean, they were into signing contracts before the marriage, weren't they? So she's betrothed, she's that young, and an angel comes. What did the angel say? Don't be afraid, wouldn't you be? I'd be spooked right off. Carl, stay there. And and I just remembered him, yes. And we got to do something with him, haven't we?
Yeah.
Was that Victorious the Great? So she's afraid, and he gives her this sort of vague word. You're going to have a baby. It's going to be God, you know. I mean, it's just... And she said, flipping heck, how can this be? And sometimes when God wants to move on people like you and definitely me, I want to say, how can this be? How can this be? How can I receive something? He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, will inseminate you with word, like rhema, will make you pregnant. I want to walk around pregnant, don't you? With word. How can this be? It's so brilliant. Not this. This. He will overshadow you. I pray for, even in times of glory worship, that the shadow of the Spirit comes and mantles us. And we don't know what to do or anything. Wouldn't that be great? We all lose the plot under the chairs, but we know it's the Holy Spirit overshadowing us. Which is good, isn't it? Yes, you said. And he will reign and all that. And she says, how can this be? He will overshadow. And the Holy One born will be called the Son of God and all that. And he says in verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, not any word. Word, rhema. Not any rhema will be impossible. Isn't that interesting? And she says to him, may it be to me according to your word, Greek, rhema. So this is the now word of God going into her. And what I love about her, she says, may it be to me according to what you've said. She's totally submissive after getting rid of shock and trauma and all of that stuff. But she, not any word is impossible. And I want to say that to us tonight. Not any word is impossible. Well, in chapter 2, with the shepherds, the sheep herds, it must be around about 15. Oh, they're all right. The angels left. Imagine that. They're all up. It can't be winter. The sheep aren't out in winter. It's more like September, October, isn't it? Never mind. Tabernacles. And the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem, house of bread, that's what it means, and let's see this thing, in my NIV, Greek, rhema. Let's see this word. Isn't that amazing? Let's see this word that has happened. The word happened. I just... Don't you? Is it just me? Yes, ratatouille and tarama salata. It's just fantastic. It says, the word, which is logos, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The word dwelling is tabernacle. It says, in the message, it says, the word was made flesh and Jesus came to live in your neighborhood. It's funny, isn't it, really? But the word was made flesh and he's tabernacled amongst us. Maybe he was born on tabernacles. Doesn't matter. Well, it does, actually. And don't you love it? It's the word, and we've got that ability to communicate because God speaks, doesn't he? Yeah, yeah. Yes, you all said with joy in your hearts. I don't know where I'm coming or going here. Oh, here I am, carpe diem. And I'd love to be a singer because I'd now go into an Everly Brothers version. Wouldn't you? Without the whatever, or the women. It's dream.
Dream, dream, dream.
and then we sing it to God. Get that lot, they're all swaying.
Ooh, Mrs., don't.
I want a dream. Don't you? One of my dreams is I take my wife around various places. So like, we'll bring her here and she's in the wheelchair. Then halfway through the meeting, she'd get up and start walking around. And then go down to the next place. That would cause a bit of a hoo-ha, wouldn't it? But God, a friend of ours said to me, three words, we'll finish here. God is enough. God is enough. God is enough. But the Holy Spirit is with you. Focus on Him, but desire earnestly, move in love, and ask Him. Now we'll sort of get through a bit more tomorrow morning, shall we? All right, then. As you go out the door, there's some stuff on there's my little book there. It'll be on Amazon and Kindle next week and all the rest of it. And we may have some Q&As. We may do things, mightn't we, Matt? See how we go. But there's a few things to say, and then we'll get into some impartation, and others will be here, and we'll stir them all up. Perhaps we should get people out and you should prophesy to them. What about that? Right, I'm finishing. I just think I might need to pray for Carl. Is that all right, Zoe? I was confident I got it right. Sorry, Chris. Do you feel this? Do you feel the spirit of the biddy comes on you occasionally? Right, Fluff Pot. He is, isn't he? Tusentak. Is he married?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, hello. What's your name?
Louise.
Look at him. He is looking a bit, isn't he? Well, Carl, I'm just thinking about you in your teenage years. When did you meet him? Never mind. There's something about... He's quite a charming guy, really, isn't he? That's how you interpret it, you know. Put it like this. He's got some stories to tell. And I think God's really touched him. Oh, I'm really sorry about this, but I've got another song come to me. It's by Karen Carpenter. She's in the book because it was the 32nd year of her death. February the 4th or something like that. And she sang a song called Desperado. Do you know it? No, don't you? Well, Eagles or somebody sang it. And he sits on the fence. He sits on the fence. And she's telling him to get off. And I think the ability he's got in his vocation and in society and in God is classic. And I want to give him a slap round the chops, really, don't you,
yeah.
Louise? Because he's got so much more.
Yeah.
Why can't you be out there speaking? Why can't you be blessing people? Why can't you be prophesying?
Yeah.
He's a bit David Beckham hair here, isn't it? Yeah. And I pray in Jesus' name that something... No, I can't do that. I pray that you'll get shaken off the fence.
Yeah.
Your wife is full of wisdom, more than you probably realize, with the greatest of respect to you. And she needs to be taken notice of. You do a lot of the times. That's not... You know, that's... It's daft to say you don't.
Mm.
At one time you might not have, but you've learned a few lessons, I reckon. And if you stir her up, look out, you're in big deep trouble,
yeah,
aren't
I know
you?
That, yeah.
Yeah, you're up the creek. But I feel like her wisdom is quite a key in this. And your wife hears God. The thing
Can
is,
you tell her that.
Yeah, I'll do it in a minute. the thing is, so do you. And I feel like he wants you to move up a gear and take Louise with you because the prophetic anointing is on you. Look at those. She's got the eyes, Kirsty.
Yeah.
Kirsty. Mm. She's got... There's something... They're like a seer. You have to find out what that means. You're like a seer. But there's something about the pair of you that's great for the kingdom of God. I don't know what you do out there, but I feel like God has put keys in your hand for you to open doors that have always seemed to be locked. But he's going to give you keys to open doors to go into stuff that will actually enable you to release that acumen, that that ability to lead and to oversee and to speak into business situations in whatever capacity. His trouble is he's daft because he's really bright and he knows the answers. Notwithstanding practical stuff, I needed him to sort out our... We've got this tap in our house and boiling hot water comes out of it because Chris can't hold a full kettle and it's spitting. And as I pull this lever and fill the cup up with hot water, it spits all over my hand and I don't know the answer. And I've done the film. I bet you he'd do it. Yeah. If he doesn't, it doesn't matter. I'll pay him. But the thing is, there's so much locked in there. There really... And it's Carl, the past, it might have been a Pandora's box, but it is not now. God has done enough. There's treasures new and old. There's a richness in him. Maybe creativity with his hands, but certainly a problem solver. That is you. The keys of God are there. You can. So sometimes he needs to open his gob and sometimes he needs to shut it because the spirit of the foot and mouth does come on him, doesn't it? You know. And he sets himself up and shoots himself in the foot, the leg, everywhere else. But you're going to get such wisdom. I'd like a laugh in the muck about. We all like that. I think it's daft and brilliant, so do you. The trouble is, back there you've been really naughty. But never mind, that's gone. But the testimony of the grace of God is so fantastic. I think you should give testimony because of, without exposing things too much, but the grace of God must have been on you to redeem you, to draw you to this place. You're like an old King James Version, a brand plucked from the burning. Perhaps it's great he's still living, to be honest. Something's happened back there. But he's here. So, all I can say is God's wanting to put a rocket up your rumpa. That's Norwegian word, rumpa, means... Clouseau says it, bin. But cherish her, love her, bless her, give her jewellery.
More?
See? I tell you what, when he wants to be, the spirit of Quip is on him. He is sharp as a pin, isn't he? And I wouldn't want you to stop that, but discern. Because sometimes you hurt. But you've got a prophetic ability to lift people up because there is a caring, compassionate shepherd's heart in there. And you two together would be brilliant.
Okay.
So there. That's all right. Bless you. Cheerio. Sorry, 9 minutes, but we finished.
Why don't we thank Steve?
Bless you. Thank you. Sorry, mate. I get out of the way.
And with the kids are back with us. Kids, have you had a fantastic time with
Yay!
The Trent Vineyard team?
Yeah.
They're a little bit weary now. It's bedtime. I don't know about you, but one of the things that prophecy and the prophetic does is... And I believe that God loves to do this, is to get our attention. I don't know about you, those of you, hopefully this has been the same for the kids. I don't know all the things you've been up to, but in here, I just get the sense that God is grabbing our attention. And we're two-thirds of the way through our conference, so tomorrow morning we can invite Steve to come and finish off speaking to us. Thanks for being with us. Have a great evening. We'll draw a line there. There may be a couple more people that Steve can pray with before we go, but we're going to pick up again in the morning. God bless you. Why not ask God the question as you go to sleep tonight, what am I seeing? Maybe a healthy question. Good night, we'll see you in the morning.